Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'"
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of Christ. Amen. See first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Oh. unto you, righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
If you can wait.
What? Hold up.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who of thy tender love towards mankind has sent thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is doing as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.
Then the apostles began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among the apostles as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, like one who serves. But who is greater than the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I pray for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned your back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to Jesus,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me 3 times that you know me.
Jesus said to his apostles,
when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said, no, not a thing. Jesus said to them,
but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, the scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said, Lord, look, here are 2 swords. He replied,
it is enough.
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not come into the time of trial.
While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around Jesus saw what was coming, they asked,
Lord, do we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
no more of this.
And he touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then the crowd seized Jesus and led him away. The crowd brought Jesus into the high priest's house, but Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said,
this man also was with him.
But Peter denied it, saying,
Lord, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else on seeing Peter said,
you also are one of them.
But Peter said,
man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
this man was also in the prison 4 years ago.
But Peter said,
And I do not know what you are talking about.
At that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophesy, who was it who struck you?"
They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
Jesus said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus, saying,
"We found this man for murder of the nations, bringing us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, the King."
Then Pilate asked Jesus,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for that accusation against him."
But they were insistent and said,
"He serves as a people, by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee to the very beginning, and he gives his advice."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, Pilate sent Jesus off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. Then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called them together, the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. For he sent him back to us. Indeed, this man has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
Then the elders all shouted out together,
Barabbas
was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify! Crucify!"
A third time Pilate said to them,
"What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
But the elders kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. Pilate released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. And he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. Please stand. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, Golgotha, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying,
"He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Jesus that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied,
"Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
"Certainly this man is innocent."
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all Jesus' acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.
Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Do you remember being told you don't discuss politics and religion? That was the axiom for polite society. And I have to admit, it made for some pretty boring conversations. Now, that is also an unspoken rule for the church, at least in the Episcopal Church. Don't talk about politics, certainly not from the pulpit. In my 45 years as a priest, I've always observed that prohibition. Of course, that's not the case in all churches. In African-American churches, politics has always been fair game. It's expected that the pastor will invite politicians to speak to the congregation, but not us. I suppose we're too afraid to offend. And basically, that's a good idea, because we have faithful people who have quite different political views. I remember once getting a brochure in the mail and was requested to hand it out on the Sunday before an election. It was a mock ballot with the boxes checked for the right candidate. I threw it in the trash. But the current election is full of a mix of politics and religion. Certain candidates equate their views and Christianity, especially so-called evangelical Christianity, and they urge good Christians to vote their way. In a sense, this is nothing new. Our lives are influenced by what we believe. It is a myth that politics and religion don't mix. Now, on any other Sunday of the church year, you might make the claim that Jesus didn't get mixed up in the messy world of politics. But you cannot make that argument on this Sunday. Let's look at what was happening on that first Palm Sunday. If you remember my sermon from last year on this day, and I'm sure all of you do, I talked about the two parades that happened in Jerusalem on that day. The Roman governor was coming into the city from the west, and Jesus was coming into the city from the east, from the Mount of Olives. In a sense, Jesus' procession was what we would call nowadays a counter-demonstration. We don't usually think of it that way. But in Jesus' day, the Passover was as much a time of civil unrest as it was a religious festival. Historians tell us that it was common for riots to break out in the streets of Jerusalem during Passover. Jews from all over the world would flock to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. The population would swell from 50,000 to 200,000, and many of these would take to the streets to demonstrate against the Romans. Some years, scores of Jews would be killed in demonstrations when they turned violent. Stop and think about it. Passover was a time when the Jewish people in slavery remembered their freedom from Egypt, from those oppressors. By the time Jesus came along, the Jews were once more in a kind of slavery. Only this time, it was the Romans who were the masters. So every year, when the Jews remembered their slavery in Egypt and celebrated their freedom, they longed for their freedom from Rome. This happened so often that the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, every spring would leave his headquarters 50 miles west of Jerusalem and process through the streets of Jerusalem to his palace there. It was a show of force, and Jesus decided to have a show of peace. Instead of swords and shields and war horses, he had children and palms and a donkey. You see, Jesus knew that politics and religion do mix. They can't help but mix. If we truly mean when we say God loves his whole creation and weeps when someone is being hurt. Jesus' action on Palm Sunday makes it clear that our religion is not just a spiritual thing that happens in your heart. It is also a social and political thing that happens in a community's heart. Now, our faith is not about being a Democrat or a Republican, but it is a faith that challenges any political system that is not on the side of those who are the most vulnerable in our society. So that means that we are called to be on the side of children who are living in poverty. It means that we are called to be on the side of those who don't have a living wage. We're called to be on the side of the homeless. It means that we're on the side of women in Muslim societies who cry out for equal rights and people everywhere who struggle for their freedom. That man on the donkey rides into all our political debates and rides into all the troubles of the world and sides with the disadvantaged. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, his message was clear. The powers of this world are not in charge. God is in charge. And because of that belief, this man on the donkey will be dead at the end of the week, executed as a criminal by Rome. Jesus went to the cross because he was convinced that you can kill love and truth, but God will raise it up from the dead if you do. Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed, found on page 326 in the Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on page 328 of the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially George, our bishop, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially Barak our president, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We remember especially those on our prayer list. We pray for Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, John, Jevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Karan, Jeff, Regina, James, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Debbie, Margaret, LaDonna, Laura, Pat, Bobby, Jack, Baylor, Dwayne, Shay, Amber, Bob, Randall, Ed, Margaret, Dawn, Glenn, Gil, Diane, and Ed. Are there any others? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Sarah Allen, Doug Kemp, and Doug Schwert. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Johnny Hannon, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of St. Thaddeus and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways to the glory of thy name.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh,
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet, right, so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who for our sins was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, who by his suffering and death became the author of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness felt safe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank Thee for that Thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of Thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of Thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of Thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of Thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech Thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with Thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as Thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with Thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
the name of Christ.